Crispin Hellion Glover is an actor who's been able to take the creative freedom that comes with early success and branch out into directing, writing children's books, and producing the kind of films whose audience is looking for something far from the mainstream. He's in Honolulu for a presentation of his work in a variety of media. He's with us in our studio this morning. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm glad to be here. There's one thing that's funny that you said that I write children's books, but they're definitely not children's books. Some of them are from old children's books that were written in the 1800s, but I've taken old books from the 1800s and reworked them and turned them into different books from what they originally were. They're heavily illustrated. I have a couple here.
Are they still
right
for
now.
Children?
No, they're probably not for children. Uh-huh. I mean, for the most part, they would be okay if children saw them. But my shows are, I'll be performing here in Honolulu. I have 8 different books that the heavily illustrated pages are projected behind me. And then I dramatically narrate these books.
And the pages look as if they'd benefit from dramatic narration, right?
Yes, yeah, yeah. The show works well. I've been performing it for many years.
Yeah.
And then I started distributing my feature films that I've directed by having a live tour with them. And I'm proud of the show.
Well, Crispin, let's talk about what I might call, I guess, the preoccupations of your film.
Yeah.
You have a real determination to move your work in a different, non-traditional direction. How would you describe it?
Well, the very first film, What Is It?, which I'll be showing on the second night, on Saturday night, most of the actors in the film have Down syndrome, but the film is not about Down syndrome at all. What it really is my psychological reaction to the corporate constraints that have happened in the last 35 years of film or so, wherein anything that can possibly make an audience member uncomfortable is necessarily excised, or that film will not be corporately funded or distributed.
Yeah.
I think it's a very damaging thing because it's that moment when an audience member sits back in their chair, looks up at the screen, and thinks to themselves, is this right what I'm watching? Is this wrong what I'm watching? Should I be here? Should the filmmaker have done this? What is it?
And it moves them to a level of involvement.
Exactly.
That they might not otherwise have had.
Exactly.
Because,
yeah.
Because the whole Hollywood mechanism, which I'm sure you know well, right?
Yeah.
Is one of creating a kind of a soothing, affirming environment where
it often can, yes.
You're okay, everything's okay, let's not get excited, right?
And more specifically, not having people ask questions.
Yeah.
Because if people are informed and ask questions, it could ultimately go against what corporate interest is. Corporate interests are enjoying what people are allowing them to control and do. But if we really have informed and thoughtful people, corporations could be serving humans as individuals as opposed to individuals being constrained by corporate interests.
And I think controlled, in fact.
Exactly. And that's exactly what's happening in our corporate media right now. And it is something that I'm glad I've been touring with this film for 10 years, and I'm glad to see that when I first started touring with it, I had a lot more upset. We were talking about Buñuel outside
Luis
earlier.
Buñuel, yeah.
And his films, when they were originally shown, people were very upset about things. But a lot of those things have been properly addressed in culture, and they're in some ways considered quaint now. But it's very important for questions and things that people need to be reacting to so culture can continue to positively move forward.
Well, there's a long tradition, Crispin, of artists who, like Luis Buñuel, the Spanish film director you described, who set out to shock, to shake things up, right? And now Buñuel is considered practically mainstream, when in fact he was, considered quite offensive when he first premiered a lot of his work. I'm thinking particularly of the things he did with Salvador Dali.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, you could take some of those things that were in his films, and if they were still put into a film in a certain way, they would they could have an equivalent kind of upset. But I'm sometimes people accuse my films of being there just for that reason. Mm-hmm. But I've been touring with the film. I don't have the films out. I have a second film I should talk about as well. But I don't solely have the films out just to upset. This is why I tour with it, and I have a Q&A after the film shows that goes about an hour and a half, because people, well, they do have a lot of questions, and they question me, particularly with the first film. And
what kind of questions? I mean, what are they?
The film deals in areas of taboo in such a way that it's not something that people are used to seeing, the juxtaposition of mm-hmm. the imagery and thoughts behind it are things that sometimes, not everybody, but sometimes people become very upset about. Mm-hmm. And so I'm there to have a discussion with them. That's particularly the first film. The second film called It Is Fine, Everything Is Fine. It's part one, two of a trilogy.
Right.
I'm actually showing them in reverse order Friday night, tonight. Yeah. I will be showing It Is Fine, Everything Is Fine, which was written by one of the people that's in the first film. His name was Stephen C. Stewart. He'd been born with a severe case of cerebral palsy. And when he was in his early 20s and his mother died, he was placed into a nursing home where he really did not want to be. He was difficult to understand what he was saying, and the people that were taking care of him there would derisively call him an MR, a mental retard, which is not a nice thing to say to anybody. But Steve was of normal intelligence, and the emotional turmoil that he must have gone through for the decade he was in that nursing home, I can't even begin to imagine. When he got out, he wrote this screenplay in the style of a 1970s TV murder mystery movie of the week, wherein he's the bad guy. And because he wrote it in this genre style, as opposed to a standard autobiography, there are certain truths in his life that stand out in a very beautiful fashion, and I'm really proud of this film.
Let me ask you a question before we run out of time.
Sure.
When people are in the Q&As after these films, when people are shocked, offended, troubled,
it's not always the case.
When
how
do you explain it to them, and do they come around? Do they?
It all depends. I mean, for the most part, people are very happy to have seen the film.
Mm-hmm.
You know, both of the films sit in an area where there are some people that this is not what they enjoy.
Do they feel better about it after they've talked to
many people do. I mean, if there is that discomfort, many people do start to have a certain thought process. Sometimes there are people just know this is not what they like, which is okay. You know, I never get upset when people are upset by it. I'm just glad that there's a discussion that's starting.
But it's important to you that somebody is operating out at these fringes, right?
How do you mean?
Out at the fringes of acceptable, or the fringes of comfortable, the fringes of what?
I think it's important that there's true thought, that people are thinking about things. The first film is very strongly a reaction to corporate control. The second film, because Steve was in a very specific situation, he was reacting to something else, and in a certain way, there's a more universal message that comes through, and it's very specific to this particular person. But it's something I'm the most proud of that film of anything I've done in my whole career. It's just something, there's a catharsis with his character that is quite beautiful, and I'm looking forward to showing it to the Hawaiian audiences here. It'll be very interesting to see.
Catharsis being a very significant goal of art, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
That really seems to be where you're going with your work.
Absolutely. And talking about the surrealists, they understood that on a deep level, having recognized what utilizing Freud's understanding of getting into the subconscious.
Yeah.
Was where good art comes from.
Well, it's going to continue to.
Yes.
Thanks very much.
Well,
thanks for
having me. I really appreciate it.
A pleasure.
Thank you.
Crispin Hellion-Glover is an actor and director who will screen two of his films, What Is It? And It's Fine, Everything Is Fine, tonight and tomorrow at Next Door in downtown Honolulu. And you can get details on our Hawaii Conversation Facebook page. Thank you.